Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello there and welcome to the show. It's brought to you with Levi Solicitors. 10% off your legal fees, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan, Michael and Rob today on Propaganda. If you didn't get the match ball over the weekend, just a reminder that we did say on that Moscow is off with COVID at the minute, isn't he? He's on the mend, thankfully.
He's filthy and diseased.
Yeah, but he'll be
sat in his bed eating sausage rolls.
He'll be back when he's better. You're in the filthy chair there, Rob. Well, although Berardi sat in it over the weekend.
I feel very privileged today.
We all had a good sniff before Rob sat down, it's worth saying.
This is the show where we find out what's been said about Leeds United. We get reaction to the game at the weekend, both from our camp and from the opposition camp. It's on YouTube. It's on your podcast app as well. Comes in two halves. The first half is where we find out what RTSB Plus subscribers thought about it. They sent us their feedback on the match ball and the game in general to hear the stuff that they picked out from the game. And then the second half is where we will hear from the opposition fans. And we should, I think it's important at this stage, don't you think, to lay out our terms when it comes to this show, because it's really important to stress this is a Leeds United show. Yeah. Two components to that. Mm-hmm. First of all, Leeds United. Okay. Who do we speak to? Who's our intended audience then, Michael?
Leeds United fans.
Yeah.
I would guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you agree with that, Rob?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And those are the people that we're speaking to, aren't we? Now, opposition fans, very welcome, but it's very important that you know who your audience is, isn't it? And speak to that audience. Mm. Yeah. But you will get more out of it if you're a Leeds United fan. If you're an opposition fan, you might not get so much out of it, but you have to look at it through the prism of a Leeds fan, don't you? Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And then the other element to that is show, where what we might do, because it's like an entertainment medium, we try our best to entertain, is to maybe adopt extreme opinions, exaggerated opinions, in order to...
I thought my misery is entirely real, based in reality, I have to say.
But all good comedy has a grain of truth in it, don't they? And we're not trying to bill ourselves as comedy. We're just saying it's a show. It's supposed to be fun. Yeah.
Hmm.
And you're not to take it all too seriously.
Who would do such a thing?
No, exactly. So now we've laid out our terms of engagement. Should we get on with the show and find out what Leeds fans thought about this game? Because if you are an opposition fan, and there may be some who've chosen to listen, some who are desperate to listen to find out what's said, there'll be plenty in here for you as well. But just, do we need to employ a trigger warning? Because we may find at some point, because we might talk down about Brentford, we might patronise them as well, adopt that sort of tone to use as a comedy device when it comes to speaking about Brentford to try and entertain our Leeds United crowd. That's the thing I was trying to get at. So do we need to employ a trigger warning just in case?
Maybe we should have a safe word.
Mm. Tell us more about this, Rob.
I think, Michael, did you coin one?
I'm not too sure. Yeah, I was told I was not allowed to use it.
No, don't. Levi solicitors wouldn't agree. What's your safe word, Rob?
Ooh.
And when do you use it?
Just when I'm not feeling safe, you know, yeah. If ever that happens. But yeah, not a regular pastime.
Okay. Have you got a safe word, Michael?
Nah. willing to roll with it.
Excellent. Right. To the feedback that we got on the Brentford game, Tyler Roberts comes top of the list from the Leeds fans, because I did say it would be Tyler's day.
I mean, I put it there because you said it.
Yeah.
I was listening back to what we said about Brentford, actually, to check we didn't say anything. To check my actual opinions on Thomas Frank didn't make it into the final edit. And yes, you did say within that it would be Tyler's day, which I think we have said at least a dozen times.
I was going to say, to be honest, it's the whole stopped clock principle, isn't it?
Well, yes, but he did score. So that was good. And Nick R mentioned him as well, saying that he did well because he didn't do any of the Maguire cupping of ears bollocks. He didn't go mental. He just kind of did that's good. We've scored. Now let's get on with the game, which I think is the right way to do it.
No, as we said, it was nice for him, wasn't it, to get the song?
Yeah, and no one's getting carried away proclaiming that he's the saviour of the season. But as Nick says, maybe just a small step to proving the doubting wrong. And, you know, it's been a good week for him, hasn't it? He came on against Brighton, looked good, was all right against Palace, didn't really do anything wrong. And then he's got his goal finally. So let's move on from there.
Loads of people picked out Bielsa's tinkering. Joe, Ding, Nige, Lawney, Phillip, and someone with no name who's defending him. People saying it was disjointed. Why, when they took off Cooper when he got injured, did they not put on Cresswell? And then obviously there was Click getting ready, and then he changed his mind on that and put on Harrison. But we got better, didn't we, after that sub, because it addressed the problem of us getting caught out on that side?
After Cooper went off, we did. When Calvin went off, we had another reshuffle, I guess. Ding sums it up quite well, really, because he's kind of saying that Bielsa's decisions are increasingly baffling, but he finishes with it, "I'm just a bloke on the internet, but Christ." Which is kind of how I feel sometimes, because I'm like, I don't really understand why we're doing this. This feels really overly elaborate to just when you could just make a straight sub. But then I think Bielsa might have always done this, but generally it's worked. And so we go, oh, he's great, isn't he? And that's what he's doing.
Well, I was thinking of the team that ended the game when Dallas was playing wherever, and it was all very confusing, and Rafinha seemed to be like a right wing back. And it reminded me of, I think it was Bielsa's first season when we played at Forest and we went down to 10 men. And his response was to just leave Pontus Janssen as the only defender and go, let's just go attack and forget it. And I like that about Leeds, and I love that about Leeds under Bielsa. And in that Forest game, we went from 1-0 down to 2-1 up and still messed it up and lost 4-2. But you thought, do you know what? I'd rather just go for it and just throw all the attackers on and see what happens.
Yeah, I do think the Phillips injury is probably more significant in things coming a bit undone than the substitution of Harrison for Cooper. That made sense because I did think we improved, but you know. There we are. Injuries actually have become one of the focuses again. Nathaniel suggesting we're not unlucky with injuries, that it might be a bit endemic because of the methods that Bielsa employs. Small squad runs them into the ground, you know, physical limits and all that. I've said before, it's one of those things, isn't it, with Bielsa's methods. It's like they work until they don't. You know, it doesn't cost you until it does kind of thing. Mm. It's a binary situation, isn't it? As long as you're fine with it and you make it through, then it's not a problem. But if we do at the end of the season happen to go down and we've been decimated by injuries, then you could maybe ask questions, couldn't you? But unfortunately, it's annoying to have that wisdom after the event.
And some injuries, like Bamford's injury, he got kicked, didn't he, against Newcastle. So there are some that you can, I think if someone gets booted, you can fairly safely assume that's not Bielsa's methods. But yeah, it must be said that we do seem to pick up a fair number of just fatigue injuries, it seems, like muscle injuries and stuff, when people are training. And it seems when people come in afresh, they seem particularly susceptible to it, like Firpo and Rodrigo and Koch and Llorente have all gone through this cycle of seemingly getting a load of injuries when they came in, which might be coincidental.
There's two sides to it, isn't it, though? Because we've just had a week where we've won a game in the 95th minute or whatever, and then we've drawn a game in stoppage time. And as much as Bielsa's methods, you know, I'm glad I'm not doing them and going through the training, but they do it for a reason. And if that means that they can keep going and keep just suffocating teams right until the end, because the Bielsa ball classics of this beautiful attacking football just isn't really happening this season. So if they can at least fall back on those ridiculous fitness levels where they can just keep running and running and running till the end, then that's how we're going to get points this season, I think. Well, that's how we're getting points in this last week or so anyway. So yeah, there's kind of two sides to it. And I'm not a sports scientist, so it's hard for me to say whether he is overworking them or not.
There may be a grain of truth in it, and there's probably not truth in some of it as well, in that, you know, remember, I was at the first season when they broke down all the injuries by type and some were impact, you know, the great majority were impact injuries when questions were being asked like this before. So there's probably some impact injuries in there, but maybe there are some, I don't know, we don't know enough about that to offer an opinion, do we?
And the other side of it as well is you look at Adam Forshaw, who's not been fit for 2 years and has now played like three games within a week and looked really good in all of them and actually not particularly tired. He still was running around in right to the last minute the other day. So I guess with other methods, maybe you don't get that. You have like that he needs to play a dozen games before he looks fit. Whereas actually since he's come back into the first team, he's looked one of the fittest players in there.
People saying something's still not quite right. Aidan and Jack both picking this out, sloppiness, bad luck. Is it costing us more? What is it that you can't quite put your finger on that's not firing this season? Is there a thing, or is it just that we've plateaued a bit with the current squad?
I feel like it's probably quite like a lot of last season was. It's just the end of last season was really good. So we remember that, and we remember just beating teams quite consistently and occasionally. We've not had any brilliant performances, have we, I suppose? I guess last year when we took Newcastle apart, for example, and even taking the game to Liverpool on the opening day, we've not maybe hit that level of fluency, not consistently anyway. We've had moments of it, but we've not had any any games where we've looked, it's all come together and we've looked brilliant. But maybe it's all right.
I mean, the thing is, the Premier League is hard. I don't know if I said this in the match ball or not. It's a tough division and there's a lot of teams of a very, very similar standard. All those that are in that kind of middling to lower group, of which we are one of.
I was looking at an interview with Bielsa from December last season. I think we played two fewer games at that point. And it was just after we dismantled Newcastle. And he was saying, there's been more games where we haven't been able to impose our style than there has been games where we have been able to. And that is the challenge of the Premier League. Like, yeah, there's some all right teams, or there's some expensive teams, or there's some teams that have been there for a long time and kind of know what it's all about. So yeah, it's hard, but it isn't clicking, is it? It's not the same. But yeah, like you say, I think maybe last season there was a lot of this as well, but we all think of the end. And again, going back to how Bielsa works his players, maybe that ending was kind of part of how fit they all were, that they could just put the foot on the accelerator at the end of the season and finish brilliantly.
And we have done the majority of this season without Bamford and Ayling in the team as well, who have both been crucial. I mean, TJ got in touch. He's done some actual research, TJ.
Why?
I know, it's amazing, isn't it? Doing our jobs for us.
Start a podcast, TJ, that's all I can say.
I mean, he's admittedly gone to Total Football Analysis, but he was saying that Ayling attempted 15 more passes than any other.
Isn't that the AKA for this show?
Than any other, 50 more passes than any other player. It also included 20 high passes, which was more than anyone else. Mm. So he also said best wishes to Moscow, but I'm not going to.
Oh, ruined his hard work there, hasn't he?
But yeah, he does change the way we played as Ayling. We've mentioned before the way he does kind of, he makes things happen from the back. He's willing to pick it up and just run into space. Whereas you get the feeling when Shackleton or someone is there, they're a bit more hesitant and they kind of play it a bit safer. Ayling is quite a risky fullback, but in a way that makes, it pulls teams out of shape, I think. Whereas at our worst, where teams look like they just sit and wait for us to do something, and we struggle to break them down sometimes. Mm. Whereas when you've got a Luke Ayling charging at you, they have to, all of us, the winger has to move forward, the space is created behind and all sorts.
Unbalancing the opponent, as Bielsa likes to say.
And Bamford as well, doing the same from the front, just making it harder for them to, in the opposite way, you know, removing time that they would have on the ball.
Stuff in the feedback that you'd expect to read, like we mentioned Calvin and the loss of control. There's no control. That went a bit Sean Connery, actually, rather than Steve Nichol. Yeah, lack of control when Calvin went off. A number of people picked that. Jimmy, Slip and Toby Lerone. Canos got a few mentions in there as well. No surprises. Ref as well. I mean, the ref's going to feature quite heavily when we get around to heroes and villains, probably.
So is Canos.
In the main weekly show. So we don't want to necessarily double up too much on that. But neither came out looking great in Leeds United eyes, did they? Anyway, I know we may have Brentford fans listening who might disagree with that. And that's fine. We respect your opinion.
On the ref, I mean, I think this is mentioned in Heroes and Villains, actually, but people pointing out that Dallas was actually fouled as well in the build-up to the first.
Was he? Just like he got shoved off the ball.
Well, I think there was a bit of both on it, to be honest, but it was debatable. I think you've seen, if it was Luke Ayling on that side, he's making sure he's getting a free kick out of that. Mm. Stuart Dallas has tried too hard to battle with
him. Too honest.
Yeah, he should have felt that touch and gone straight over like a sack of shit.
Yeah, because that's what we, you know, again, employing contradiction as a comic device, we can tolerate it from our players,
yes,
but not the opposition. Okay, good. I'm glad we've cleared that up.
A bit like when Canos was goading the crowd, he's an awful bastard who deserves glassing. And when Rafinha did it, it was great and dead funny.
But then, you know, it has to be said, Leeds fans threw some objects at Canos, Brentford fans threw some nasty glances at Rafinha when he was doing that. So who's worse?
It shows the difference in ability as well, because Rafinha made sure he was further from the fans and walking backwards. Mm. And he was looking at him, so anything that was coming towards him, he would have dodged.
Levels to this game, etc.
Exactly. Canos, idiotic, ran towards where the trouble would be and then stood there. Didn't even keep moving. It's like if you're trying to avoid a sniper, you need to keep on the move, don't you?
Yeah, zigzag, don't you?
Yeah. You got to zigzag if you're trying to avoid being shot. So if you're going to shit out behind a goal, lots of zigzags.
Well, you see, what we've done now is we've made light of people throwing objects from the crowd. Mm. So if you are of a sensitive disposition about that, we do apologise, okay? Trigger warning for you there. We were picked out on the match ball, actually, by a couple of people, Roger and Ben, for it being a tough listen. I don't think we were particularly miserable on the match ball at the weekend, even though Ben said, cheer up, lads, you sound so miserable. I think we were just a bit tired because we'd had the high of Palace through the week. And then for it to happen again, I mean, like, I was absolutely, you know, the same. I did myself an injury, as I mentioned on the match ball.
You were concerned about losing your leg, weren't you, after the game?
I'm pleased to report that I've retained the leg.
At one point. You did suggest after we'd stopped recording that you might have to go to hospital and you might have to cut your jeans off. And I was like, I think you could probably just take them down. Just pull them down, be quicker.
My calf was quite swollen. There was no, And the jeans are not, the fit, they're not tight or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but you've got the old man stretch jean, haven't you?
Of course I have, yeah. From Next. I mean, they are Next jeans, not glamorous or particularly stylish, but
very comfy. They're
elasticated and God, they stretch.
Those denim shorts you're wearing today, though, look at
this. The hot pants. Let's not give away the secret.
We have us wearing Christmas jumpers today as well, yeah. without any planning, which is nice. These are last year's, aren't they? I believe there is a new version of this in stock, which I haven't got yet.
Yeah.
But Merry Christmas, everyone. You can see we've done a lot with the studio.
Well, I do, as I said, you have a spare Christmas tree, which I will bring in, but I was running short of time today and I thought, can I be asked going to the loft? And the answer to that question, as you've gathered from looking at the studio, is no.
No,
I couldn't be asked going to my loft, but I'll bring it in for later on this week. Maybe we could make Phil decorate it. Something like that. He's not allowed to come on the show until he's done our tree. Yeah, I don't think we were miserable. I just think I was dead tired after that, after another kind of exhausting emotional roller coaster. Had it been like, had we gone in front like 2-0, had that Ayling header gone in early in the second half, we'd run away with that game, would have come in buzzing and enjoying it. But I think just to have gone through the ringer again, like we did against Palace, I think it was tiring.
It was all the jokes after Tuesday night was, oh God, this season's going to kill us. But then after Sunday, it was like, oh no, it is actually going to kill us. Yeah.
It's hard work.
Yeah, there's an underlying anxiety there, I think, isn't there? Even though the gap to the bottom three now looks fairly comfortable, I think there's still December is definitely a shadow, isn't it?
Well, I was
on the horizon,
I was going to say,
God.
You say that now, Michael, just park that comment until we get to the preview section of the weekly show and we are looking at Chelsea away, then Man City away. And then let's revisit that, shall we?
Yeah. Let's just say we're going to lose both. Save that section altogether.
Rodrigo's mum. Oh, she's been in touch, actually, hasn't she?
Yeah, it's Rodrigo's mum who has been in touch, apparently. But he thinks the Rodrigo benching deserved a mention.
Why?
Because there's some stats.
Okay.
That says when he plays a full game.
Why do people keep doing research to make points?
It's great, isn't it? Yeah, but basically if he plays, he's played 3 full 90s and we've won those ones. So that's good. I think that's what he's saying anyway.
He's played 8 full 90s and we've won 3.
Oh,
okay. All right. Well,
and drew 4.
What's the top one then?
I don't know what any of this means.
I'm confused by the presentation of these stats.
Oh, no, I see what's going on. Right. So of the wins we've had 3.
And
3 have been full 90s for Rodrigo.
I get you.
Of the losses we've had, there have been 5 and 1 full 90 for Rodrigo. And that was West Ham, an unlucky loss, says Rodrigo's mum. And then draws, we've had 7, 4 full 90s. So 8 full 90s, 3 wins, 4 draws, only 1 loss when Rodrigo's in the side. What's going on, says Mrs. Rodrigo's mum.
I know the whole narrative is we've got a tiny squad and can't cope, but is that just the evidence that there is some competition for places in the team now that Rodrigo can't get in the starting 11? I think he probably would have come on at the weekend, but the way injuries went meant it was never really an option because we needed to get Bamford up top as well. So. Yeah, maybe just the opportunity wasn't there for him.
And there's no denying as well, I don't think we've quite figured out where he fits yet because, you know, Roberts has started up front, Bamford's come on from the bench. So where does it leave Rodrigo? Has he fully morphed into an attacking midfielder now? And if so, when do you play him?
I think there's probably something in it's a correlation of the stats, but it's obviously when we play well, it tends to be against weaker teams, which is when he seems to be better, I would say, whereas he gets withdrawn in games when we don't have control of it. So maybe that was part of the problem in the first place. I don't know. If you're gonna give him credit for the wins, you're probably also in the games where he's been withdrawn, you've rarely seen him taken off and gone, oh, what's he doing that for? You can normally see why he's being withdrawn. It's because we're not keeping hold of the ball in the middle.
I'm gonna chuck 2 words in now. Correlation and causation.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that right? Have I got the right words there?
They're the right words.
Good. What do they mean?
It means that winning with him on the pitch is not necessarily we're winning because he's on the pitch, I think.
Should we just say what you said?
Yeah, it's fine.
And Joe brings up a good point, something that we should actually concentrate on as a positive. Being good at corners, and there's no denying Rafinha's corners are dangerous. They look dangerous. And we obviously got the equaliser from that one late on, from an absolute howitzer of a ball drilled into that area. Just caused havoc, didn't it?
You know what he does with them? Kicks it hard.
Mm-hmm.
Kicks it right hard, right into the middle of the goal.
But I've seen other players who will go down to do a corner. You know, they'll put the ball down, edge of the D, the quadrant thing?
Quadrant.
Kick it dead hard. Shite, it'll hit the first man.
Yeah, but that's because they're not kicking it high enough.
Right.
I mean, there was that moment against Palace where Ali McCoist was praising Rafinha for how hard and fast his deliveries were, and then he just spanked it right into the south stand. It's the opposite side.
Have you been speaking to...
I can't say.
Is it confidential?
I can't say. I've been speaking to
patient confidentiality.
Exactly. Yeah. I've taken the oath that you don't mention it.
Mind you, as there was that moment, and was it, again, because we've had so much football in the last week or whatever, I can't remember which game it was, but was it the game on Sunday where Rafinha did pick it up sort of in the final quarter of the game and smash it into the south stand as well, in frustration when you were just willing him to actually cross it in at that point?
Yeah, he's got it in him. I think the nature of the way he hits the ball is fairly risky because he gets a lot of power and dip on it, and it's the same with his free kicks and his shots and everything. It means that when it goes wrong, it can go fairly spectacularly wrong.
Joe does pick out, specifically says, to me, the last time we scored a goal from a corner, it was Paul Butler in a 3-1 win over Sheffield Wednesday in 2007. What about Matt Heath?
Matt Heath. Was it against Burnley?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Right, so conclusions from a Leeds point of view. Not too many complaints, but still a few nerves. Is that fair to say?
I think so, yeah. I feel like this 6-point gap to the bottom three, by the time we get to like 4 or 5 games left, and it's 6 points, I'll feel all right with it. But until that point...
We were saying after the game, weren't we, that it's just probably going to be a bit of a grind this season. And this is how it's going to feel. I'm confident that we will hopefully keep that buffer and things will be all right. But I don't think it's going to be that enjoyable.
The form table looks fine, doesn't it? We're like firmly mid-table in that. It's just that we did have a poor start and we're still sort of catching up on that, I guess. If we'd managed to turn that into a win, which for the most of the game... it probably did look like, actually, until they scored. I thought we were winning that quite comfortably. We would all of a sudden be like, would we be 11th or something now if we'd won that game?
Yeah,
so it's all very tight, isn't it, around that space?
And the crucial thing is that there isn't a big gap opens up to 11th or whatever. If you can get there within a game or two, then you give yourself a chance, don't you?
But we saw at the end of last season, you only have to put a couple of wins together and then suddenly you're in the top half and things look fine and you're feeling great.
And as we're saying, at the root of it is the Premier League is actually not very good, is it? And it's not much fun to be in at this level. And you starting to get that first sense of, I think, something Phil has touched on when we've spoken about, and we probably will do, no doubt, speak on Thursday about the increased 49ers shareholding. I think there is an understanding within the club that we can't be milling around in this group for too long because people will start to get a little bit antsy.
Mm. You say it's not very good. I mean, it's impossibly good at the top. That's part of the problem. Is that you do look at the upcoming games against Chelsea, Man City and Liverpool, and you go, yeah, it's incredibly unlikely we're going to get anything from that.
But that's quite dispiriting though, isn't it? And we'll come on to it in the previews, is like when we get round there, spoiler alert, not predicting much from those two games.
but there are equally, you know, 10, a dozen teams in the league that you think, yeah, on a day, could easily get something from these games.
And it returns to the thing we said last season, is as long as you beat the teams that you're supposed to, in air quotes.
Like Brentford.
To. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Because, I mean, really.
Well, I mean, don't need to say it, Michael, do you? Jeez. But like, you know, for example, Burnley, you'd hope to beat Burnley and you take that as a litmus test of where your season's heading. And the fact that we drew earlier in the season to them was one of the early causes for slight worry, wasn't it? Even though it was very early in the season that we didn't really perform when we went there. But then, you know, they're tough.
They are. And my kind of hope is that their American owners panic and sack Deitch.
Yeah.
Because they'll see themselves in the bottom three. And I think it's been a leveraged buyout and stuff, hasn't it? So they've got a load of debt riding on the fact that Burnley can continue to be grow. And I once listened to their owners talking about their plans, and it was that they think they can like commercially exploit Burnley more and make more money from it all. And I was thinking, I'm not sure.
Can you though?
Not yet. I was thinking, I think
where's the mass appeal in Burnley? And that's with no disrespect, you know, like
obviously. No disrespect to them, but yeah, I don't see them as being,
because we like to respect other teams because we're all part of the football family, obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if they could sack Deitch, that'd be great, because then they'd be able to try probably employ like Steve Bruce or something who would send them down with as many points as he takes over.
Are you just trying to get out of doing an impression when we play them next?
Ideally, yes. It will be the middle of winter, won't it, then? And my throat may already be a bit sore. So, yeah, if we could avoid that, excellent.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
First half of the show is where we look at what's been said from a Leeds point of view. Now we dive into the opposition fans. I've got a feeling this is going to be fun, but before we get there, I just wanted to ask, have you heard of the Amazonian tree frog?
Not specifically.
It's just a frog that lives in trees in the Amazon.
I guess that, yeah.
Yeah, hence the name. And what it's got, it's one of the animals with one of the thinnest skins.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, in the world. And that's because, did you know that frogs breathe through their skin?
Oh.
And not only that, but the Amazonian tree frog, it's those really bright ones. And basically the rule of thumb is the brighter the frog, the more poisonous it is. Mm. It secretes poison out through its skin. So if you touch it, it can really mess you up. I've got a feeling in this section, we're going to hear something from creatures with thinner skins than the Amazonian tree frog. Shall we get into it?
Bless them. Well, let's start with someone who's, despite being very young, very level-headed.
Very wise.
Very wise, yeah. This is a guy
for a head on young shoulders.
TW8 is what he goes by on YouTube. It's that you'll have seen some of his footage because it's his footage of Rafinha.
So he's right down the front in the away fans, isn't he?
He's in the away end, so it's his clip of Rafinha kind of pointing at the badge and shouting at them a bit. But this is him leaving the ground, and he's off there.
To Brentford, I've just drawn 2-2 with Leeds at Elland Road, and you know, before the game, I said 2-2, and the draw would have been a good result, to be fair. Like, it means we stay above Leeds, but, you know, when you concede with about 60 seconds left, it always hurts. You know, what could have been, we were really close to a crucial win. But Patrick Bamford popped up with a late equaliser, and to be fair, it was probably deserved. You know, their keeper didn't have to make many saves. Alvaro in our goal did. He made couple decent saves, a worldy one as well. They scored a goal in the first half. We probably should have defended better. We needed a Baptiste worldy to get us back into it, and then Sergio Canos scored a nice goal, which is good to see. And I thought Christian Norgaard was really good for us as well. Ever consistent he is. And I must also say, the Leeds atmosphere was brilliant. It definitely lived up to expectation. It's definitely one of the best atmospheres in the Premier League. You know, without Ivan Toney, it's really not a bad point away from home, but it could have been more.
Balanced. You see, that's what you want from fan media, don't you? A really balanced approach to covering your team's games. But I thought that's some absolutely fair points in there, one of which is Brentford are above Leeds. That is noted. It's an important point to note, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's something they've got over us, and they can and should use that. But I thought he was probably right about the game overall as well. We probably deserved a draw out of that.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say. If you look at the momentum graph, who is it that it's SofaScore, isn't it, that do the momentum graphs? Mm. It's apart from that early spell when they had a bit of a run at us and then we scored, it's mostly us apart from that spell in the second half when they scored. So it went both ways. We probably had more of the attacking all in all.
Yeah, I'd not really considered the point that Melier not particularly made any saves. So yeah, fair enough. I've got one other clip from him, which is his live footage of the second goal. And I've included this because I need your opinion on it. I noticed it in the YouTube comments and I went back and listened to it. I think there's a grown man who's a Brentford fan doing "Sue" after when Brentford score a goal.
Right.
Which is really odd. But I might be wrong. I might be mishearing it. And the person whose comment I picked up on YouTube, I may have misheard. They may have misinterpreted
Michael,
it as
just
well.
Remember, just because we don't want to be too critical of Brentford.
Well, okay?
Because people don't want to hear that.
The lad doing the video is doing some good, like, sort of screaming and cackling on it as well, which is quite good. I don't mind that.
Brentford!
I think you might be right there.
That's weird, isn't it?
That is a Sue. Yeah, no. No, 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 no.
Kick him out of the league.
Michael, that's not very generous spirited, is it? Goodness me.
Possibly not.
After you said in our previous podcast, which I really objected to you saying that Brentford shouldn't be in the Premier League, I'm disappointed now.
Mm, it's a shame.
Are you disappointed in yourself?
No, I think that is a really solid reason to kick a team out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sickening scenes. We don't want to see that sort of thing. I'd rather a return to the hooliganism of the 80s than have grown men who sat shouting Sue for a player who doesn't even play for their team. It's bad enough when Man U fans do it.
Yeah. Did you see that picture of Ronaldo when he took the penalty and he's doing that stupid thing and there's just dozens and dozens of fans all with phones pointing at him?
The worst one is there's a bloke who's obviously taking a selfie video of him with him on it and Ronaldo in the background. So essentially he's watching the winning penalty be scored on a tiny rearview mirror because he's busy filming himself with Ronaldo in the background.
I have similar objections to people who go to concerts and spend the whole concert filming it because all you're seeing is the concert through a phone lens and you're not living it, you're not there in the moment.
And also, I don't know if you've seen these days, but like Leeds do these, all the angles things. A goal scored in the Premier League, there's loads of video of it. If you want to see it again, just watch one of them. Watch one of the eight cameras that points at the goal for 90 minutes of an entire match.
Shall we move on to Besotted?
Go on. Bless him.
Who they, if you saw Twitter on Sunday night, they'd cottoned onto our Brentford preview, which, you know, every week, if you're a regular listener, you will know the middle third of the weekly podcast. It's a preview section about the teams that we talk about, the opposition team that's coming up, because that's obviously what a preview is, isn't it? You talk about your opponents. So we did that. We were a little bit disparaging about Brentford in ways that we will... should we talk about satire now? Or should we hear some clips first? Because I've gone in so far as to start reading about definitions of satire and it could get quite lengthy.
I don't know what you've prepared here. So, I mean, keep it brief.
Right. So, in short, they've had a pop at us about the tone of our podcast, in which you said, Michael, for example, that they had no right to be in the Premier League and only teams that should be in when you were like 13 should be in it. Okay.
Yeah. Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oldham, Swindon, they can be in the Premier League. Yeah. QPR.
QPR, obviously, that's the first one you'd put on top of the list.
Yeah, they should be.
Big regular West London club like them.
Exactly.
Know, like Trevor Sinclair, Les Ferdinand and stuff.
Yeah.
But you used it as a comedy device. So let's just pause it there and then we'll come back to the idea of satire, okay? Because you've actually contradicted yourself. Because I went back and listened to when Brentford got promoted and do you know what you said in our podcast? They deserved it.
Well, they did.
Yeah.
But the previous bit wasn't about what they deserve.
Yeah.
It's about what I think should happen.
Yeah. And
I think they should be put back to League One.
Being in the Premier League is a feeling, isn't it? It's not about what you've earned or anything like that.
It's like when Huddersfield were in there. Yeah. They deserve it too because they got up and that's how leagues work and how playoffs work, that if you go up, you deserve to go up.
So, because what you've done, you see, is you've adopted a contradictory position to the one you previously had as a device to kind of hold up a mirror to our own sense of entitlement, isn't it? It's a comedy device so we can laugh at our own 16 years out of the Premier League and the absolute...
Which were fully deserved.
Yeah, and the existential terror we go through every single week in games like this, games like Palace, about losing that and falling out of the division again. And therefore, you're subverting those things, aren't you? You're subverting our own paranoias, basically, so we can laugh at ourselves and we disarm ourselves and we don't get too caught up in it. It's just a comedy device.
The reason we had that many years outside the Premier League is because mainly we had a really, really bad football team.
We were shit, weren't we? For a lot of it. We had bad
therefore,
owners.
Therefore, it would have been very hard to argue that we should have been in there, and yet we should have been in there because of
who we are.
Exactly. Yeah. They should have seen how many League One playoff final tickets we could have sold and not even played the game. They should have gone, do you know what, lads? Straight to the Premier League you go. And then the doors open for you.
And then pull up the drawbridge.
Exactly.
Straight afterwards, because that's what's important, isn't it? Okay, so let's go back to the start of this. We had a little bit of a pop at them. You suggested, you know, they should be replaced by other teams. I had a little bit of fun at Besotted's expense, knowing, because I've seen occasionally the stuff that's come out of them, like, you know, about how upset they get at other fans and things like that. We were a little bit upset at Thomas Frank's hair and his ears. We poked a bit of fun at that, which was a very, very cheap shot, we'll admit. And we also said that Pontus wouldn't be happy playing in a 17,000-seater stadium, didn't we?
Yes.
That was probably the sum total of our crimes, okay? So let's find out.
I didn't expect to have as many clips as we have got.
Is this going to be a long show, is it? I'm just looking at the time already.
They just kept talking about our podcast, which was weird.
I was worried what we'd said about them, because I thought, Christ, we must have said something really bad.
Yeah, I listened back.
It was just some cheap shots around commonly trotted out tropes that have been taken absolutely seriously by the sounds of it.
And it's nothing that, like, we're about to do the same about Man City and Chelsea as well in a minute. We're about to have
and if you go back
slag off various things about them.
If you go back and listen to like the Norwich one, We said they had no business being in the Premier League either because they're not even trying.
Yeah, I mean, Norwich, in fairness, do pass my test of being allowed to be in the Premier League. But I feel like they've been, because they keep coming up and absolutely stinking the place out, they've kind of had their turn. Yeah. So they should now be forced to stay in the Championship for at least a decade.
Because they're not even trying.
Exactly.
Yeah. Put some effort in, off you go. Now, Brentford are putting effort in, but we're still not allowing them in.
Mm, correct.
Enough. Right, so let's go to the start of the Besotted clips then. And we should say as well, just to reiterate what we're saying at the start of the show, like, there's nothing special about this. We do this every week. This is called propaganda, which, you know, we find out what's being said about Leeds United. Mm. So that includes opposition fan channels every week, every club. We'll do it next week with Chelsea and Man City, where they'll no doubt be laughing at us. That's the point of it. You just laugh at it, don't you? Okay. So we're outside the ground now, are we?
Yes, he's talking to Leeds fans at this point.
Right.
But he's talking to Leeds fans about what we'd said about them. Mm.
Which, with the best will in the world, I'd love it if every Leeds fan listens to this, but they don't. Okay, here we go.
It's interesting. We were listening, I have to bring it. We were listening to the Square Ball podcast on the way up, and they were less than complimentary about Brentford. I have to say, they didn't even think we should be in this league, and they didn't think that we'd win today, and they just thought they hated Thomas Frank, and they just hated everything about Brentford. You've got to listen. You've got to pay. But I'm just going to say to you as a Leeds fan, you've got to pay at least a little bit of respect to us. We've got less fans, we've got less money, but we're a bit higher than you in the team, in the league. You know what I'm saying? They're not being, but you know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying, listen to that podcast. That was a disrespect though, you know what I'm saying?
They were spreading the word though, which is good of them, telling Leeds fans to listen to it, which is actually what we're trying to do. So if they're doing that on our behalf, thank you, lads. Appreciate it.
We said they won't win today and they didn't.
Mm.
So we were right.
James, point out, returning to the theme, he's pointed out they're above us in the table. Again, an important point to note when it comes to us taking the piss out of them. They can come back with that.
And also, we hate everything about Brentford. I really don't hate anything about Brentford.
There's nothing hateable about Brentford. I mean, Thomas Frank's a bit objectionable when he starts chewing his gum with his mouth open and his hair's questionable, but it's just cheap shots, isn't it?
Yeah, like there are several things about Chelsea that I hate, we'll come on to probably. Talking about scum, even people like Villa, there are kind of hateable aspects to Brentford.
Just indifference, isn't it?
Not really. Yeah. Christ.
Careful, Rob, now.
Oh, sorry.
You're letting us down again.
I'm being disrespectful, aren't I?
You are.
That's not on.
Yeah. And heaven forbid we'd be disrespectful about opposition teams on, when, you know, when we were saying at the start of the show about it being a Leeds United show and what our audience, Leeds United fans, might expect to hear and want to hear that might make them laugh. Let's just get the tone right.
Anyway, he's talking to another Leeds fan here.
Yeah, so it's one of these. So for Leeds United, I mean, where is it for you? I mean, again, we talked about it, and I have to say this again. We listened to the Square Ball podcast, if you check it out, the December the 2nd episode, around about 30, 35 minutes in. Let's just say that they weren't too pleasant about Brentford, Thomas Frank, about us, about Besotted, about anything like that. They just completely tore us to pieces, like, you know, saying that Brentford should not be in the Premier League. They can't understand why we're here, why our manager. They don't understand why everyone loves us in the media. Honestly, they just tore us to pieces. And the fact is that, they, you know, yeah, which is interesting, you know what I'm saying?
I feel like I've seen that movie before.
Yes.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, like, we go back to last season. You know, we were media darlings for a bit for bringing this exciting swashbuckling football to the Premier League. Didn't like that either. Don't want to be media darlings. And again, so holding a light up, holding a mirror up to ourselves here about being media darlings. So if you're a Leeds fan and you listen regularly, you'll understand that because it's a show aimed at Leeds fans, isn't it? So anyway, is he asking more Leeds fans about outside the ground?
This is with a Brentford fan.
Right.
So this is where we discover the kind of origin of his previous questions, where he's been... There's been, I don't know if it's a bus, a car or what, but they've been listening to it.
A vehicle of
as a
fury.
Group. I don't know if there's a big Brentford WhatsApp group and that everyone's been on the way down independently and been you need to get this on and listen to it.
35 minutes
in. They probably all came on the same bus.
Well, potentially, yeah.
Yeah, have a listen.
And like I said, we had a little journey out. We had a little bit of a laugh. I know I keep going on about this, but it really did wind us up. And if we had got that victory today, it would have been wicked, you know what I'm saying, actually kind of just going back to that. But the disrespect that was shown from the Bees on the Square Ball podcast. The second time as well, it's happened in 4 weeks. It's talk about obsessed. They said that they don't even care about us, but literally they spent about 20 minutes talking about us and talking about this and talking about how we shouldn't be in the league and talking about how we are and, you know, saying that we shouldn't be there. And we're thinking, hold on a second, we're above you in the league. We're not even in the league, but we're actually above you. And they're talking about us like we weren't even there. And we went inside that game today with an understrength side, with an injury-ravaged side, and the COVID-ravaged side, and they still couldn't get 3 points, could they?
Couldn't do. I'll tell you what, honestly, I was like, you know what, obviously you're going to the away game, you're buzzing about the game, but after we listened to that podcast, I was livid. I was well up for this game. I was like, bring it on. you know, kind of, you know, a bit of a Keegan-esque kind of, I'd love it if we beat them sort of feeling, you know. And I just thought, you know, they have a bit of manners. And there was no manners on that podcast. They were just going on one. You know, they were going on about Frank, they don't like him, about this, about that, you know, about us, being, you know, lucky to, teams being lucky to be in the Premiership. You know, we've earned our way to get into the Premiership, and we've shown that we're a quality side. You know, but they were bitter and twisted, honestly, it was crazy. So, we, you know...
Sorry, 30 minutes in, the December the 2nd, Square Ball podcast. Honestly, check it out, it'll make you smile, Brentford fans.
It'll make you smile, it'll make you laugh, it'll make you be like, oh, we should have got 3 points. But, you know, obviously, you know, today I would have been happy walking away with a draw, which we have, but to have got 3 points after listening to that podcast, I would have been laughing.
I mean, they're so close as well. It's like you said, it makes us smile and laugh. That's where it needed to stop. Just laugh it off. You're above us in the table.
It was the manners, though, the lack of manners.
So let's address some of the points in there. First of all, he brought out Obsessed, because we talked about them twice in recent shows, one of which was in the Brentford preview section, which, I don't know, again, regular listeners will know, we do a preview section every week of the team we're going to play.
It is generally quite light on facts as well.
Yeah. Which, again, is the tone of the show. Yeah.
And it is often bitter and twisted, that section.
Can I come back?
We are bitter and twisted, to be fair.
We'll go to the next part of the satire lesson in a minute. I just need to address the COVID ravaged thing. They lost one player.
Yeah, ravaged is not...
No.
We're
at Moscow's.
I was going to say we're a COVID ravaged podcast, aren't we?
Decimated by COVID and manners. Well, I mean, if you want manners, why are you listening to opposition podcasts?
It gets a bit Frank Lampard with a touchline code there, doesn't it? When you talk about manners and respect,
it's like, no, we trash everybody.
And the thing is, if they were in here and we were just chatting to them, we'd get on absolutely perfectly well with them, because we're not going to.
And that was the point I made on Twitter at the weekend. It's like, it's just a daft knockabout on the internet. We're just taking the piss out of every single weakness that we can possibly think to exploit. Right, so I ended up reading about satire. Okay, there are three types of satire. There's two that we're kind of dancing between. That shows how clever this is.
Oh.
Amazing. I mean, I didn't even know, but found out by reading up on it. So we are using techniques from, it's called Juvenalian satire, but we'll call it attack satire because I can't remember that. It's a posh word, right? And it uses bitterness, ridicule, contempt, and personal invective, as was the case with you, where you were insulting those poor people from London, and you attack a target or an institution, right? So in this case, Brentford, right? So if you're a thin-skinned Brentford fan, that's all you're going to hear. You're going to hear the attack, and tunnel vision gets employed. Except they're not the real target, are they, right? Because when you understand that we do this to everyone, and you're not the intended audience, because as we've stressed, I think on several occasions now, you may recall, Leeds United fans is our intended audience, and we have to speak to the people that are it's our intended audience. It's not Brentford fans, is it? It's not. But when you speak to them, you can like see that we are just holding up a mirror to ourselves and our audience, right? And then this is the other bit of satire. Great. It's called Horatian satire, which is called basically poking fun. You are poking holes in norms and behaviours, and it laughs at human folly, like both in its cast members, us, you being miserable, the eternal pessimist, and so on and so forth, and its audience, right? And that's all we've done, is everybody is just poking fun at us. We are laughing at ourselves. And it's a shame we've had to explain that, because our audience, our intended audience, gets this.
Well, admittedly, it was the day of the game. Emotions run high, don't they, at football. I'm sure having a day to rest on it, they'll have calmed down. Oh, no.
still going the day after?
He's still going now. He's going, I think he's realised he's got really cross with Leeds.
We should just stress as well, 32 minutes in, the December the 2nd episode.
And he's giving it the, look, a lot of my best friends are Leeds fans, but these guys...
Yeah, extremists.
I've got a lot of Leeds friends. I talk to them all the time. Leeds are very different in the way that they approach football matches. And this is not about banter. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later and like that. That they can get just really bitter. Like, you know, listen, we all love football. We all love our team. We all talk about it. But things are on a different, they're just on a different level in Leeds. And I've seen it when they, with their Ben White campaign and all the other things we do. So we're not taking it personally as Brentford fans, because I see that they do it to everyone, but it's just different. And there was a lot of bitterness was going on yesterday before the match. Our beef with Square Ball, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Considering they've not taken it personally, they're talking about it a lot.
We're going to talk about that later, because we haven't already. Yeah,
but again, can I just point you, use the word bitterness. It's a comedy device within the attack satire.
And also, I like the fact that he was offended at the Ben White thing as well, because that was, again...
Yeah, it was just taking the piss.
It was a joke.
Yeah, because we weren't going to get him. So what can we do? We can swing our dicks around, because we can swamp your social media and do free Ben White. It's just a bit of fun, isn't it?
Yeah. On a different, the way he's talking, it was as if we'd, when you hear people say like, oh, that sort of stuff doesn't really belong in football, it's generally about people mocking tragedies or, you know, a particular fan who's got, you know, like has something that's kind of, that you shouldn't pick on. But this is just being really generic, saying they had a Lego stadium.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's too much.
Yeah.
You can't say that.
Yeah, and
Thomas Frank's ear said lovely.
But I've said, like, they sing, we're just a bus stop in Hounslow, which is exactly the right thing to do because they're taking the insult about the perceived weakness, their small size, and then they weaponize it when they're in front. So, for example, when they're in front and it's 2-1 and they're singing to us, we're just a bus stop in Hounslow, it's the same point. Their fans en masse, at large, get it. You know, it's not difficult to understand.
Within their podcast, a bit like ours with the heroes and villains things, they've got, I think, the award like a stinker.
Or who's the candidate for this week?
Or something. And yeah, you can guess the rest.
But I have to admit, we listened to it, and if you want to check it out, the 2nd of December version from about 32 minutes on or something like that, they were absolutely, honestly, it was on a different level. Again, it's like I said to you, I don't know if it's just a Leeds thing or whatever it is, but they just went on and they came back to us later saying, oh, don't you like banter? And, you know, this is about what fanzines are all about. Listen, we know we've been doing fanzines for 40 years. We know what jokes are about. You listen to our thing. We joke and we take the mickey out of people and everything like that, but you're also quite balanced. But there was no balance at all. It was almost like quite bitter and quite horrible and quite nasty. And also, it wasn't even factually correct. You know, I'm saying it's like, if it's funny, it's got to be funny, but it wasn't funny, but it wasn't factually correct. And there was no kind of information. It was just jibing and talking about, you know, us as a fanzine, talking about Brentford, how Brentford shouldn't be in the Premier League. Everyone has their opinion. But, you know, sort of if you've got delusions of grandeur, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, you.
I'm just noting a theme here. That's all. Just a common thread running through these clips.
You should be, but we shouldn't be. Why? Because you've got more fans than us, like I'm saying, but you haven't got more points than us. So what makes you feel that you should be in the league more than we can? Because we've actually won more games than you. It's a really weird, like, situation. And you have to listen to it because it's really hard. But we went up to that game really chilled. But then after that, it really hyped us up for the match as well. And all I can say is that we spoke to a few of the coaching staff and they had listened to it as well. So I think it might have hyped up a few of the players as well. So thank you very much, Squareball.
Brilliant.
Being passed around.
I love the idea of Pontus Janssen listening to it and just being like, yeah.
Have you heard what they've been saying about us?
I mean, I'll tell you one thing I can correct him on there. He says, you know, you listen to our thing. I don't. I listen to it this week because we do this bit of the podcast.
Hang on a second, Michael. You're obsessed. What are you about?
Yeah, that is true.
Because we have spoken about at least twice this season already.
I mean, the thing about not being factually correct.
I mean, that's fine. Yeah, we will.
Did we say it holds 17,000 people and it holds 17,462 or something? He gets close to the point as well saying, things can only be funny if they're factually correct, but then he realises that's a daft thing to say, so he goes, it wasn't funny, and it wasn't factually correct.
I mean, and if you come into this show for factually correct things, I mean, you're in the wrong place.
You forgot to put in the preview in the prep sheet, didn't you? So yeah, we weren't heavy on facts, were we?
No, not entirely, no. That's how little I think of them. I didn't even do any... I didn't even put them on the prep sheet.
That's how obsessed you are.
Because I was thinking about Crystal Palace instead, which came first, and then I was like, oh, shit, there's another game.
You were thinking about QPR, weren't you?
That's the one. Yeah, I had loads of stuff about Les Ferdinand on it, to be honest. It was a shame he wasn't playing.
Right. Is this the last one from them? Or a couple more? We're still going.
It keeps going.
Can I just say, 32 minutes in.
This is someone else on their podcast, again, having a go at us for talking. He's having a go at us here for talking about Brentford in the Brentford preview.
Right. We'll come back to that, probably.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. You know, banter's got a brilliant place in football, and so is humour. But, you know, bitter. Like, trying to say that there isn't a rivalry, but spending 25 minutes having a go at us. Like it's not something we instigated. We're just going up to Leeds to, you know, we have had some great games with Leeds over the last few years and they've been very close, some of them. Some of them we've won, a couple of them that they've won. You would have thought that, you know, that they would have taken that on board. You know, it's manners, to be honest with you, as well. You know, slagging us off for our stadium, slagging us off for everything. It's just like, it's odd. If there's no rivalry, well, don't talk about us so obsessively. I mean, we are under their skin, and it's quite, in that respect, it's quite funny. So crack on, lads.
Will do, Tree Frog. I mean, there's so much to go out in there. Rivalry, there is no rivalry. And we need to just say, look on YouTube, if it's a better medium for it, because on YouTube, you'll find we divide the weekly show into three bits just so it's a little bit more digestible. In the middle bit, where we did the Brentford preview, it's got a big graphic on it that's been made by our graphic designer. And it says on it, Palace, Brentford, preview, doesn't it? Preview.
And it's that we do that every week wherever we're playing.
Because, like, I don't know if you, again, the way that the Premier League's constructed is you play every team twice. Between about sort of August and May, isn't it? I think that they generally do it these
Even the
days.
Teams that don't deserve to be in there, you have to play them twice.
Yeah. Rules are rules, eh? And then they schedule these fixtures one after the other throughout that sort of 9-10 month window, don't they? And then they publish them and they're called fixtures. And then what you do is you look down the fixtures, and if you're doing like a weekly show like this, you look at the fixtures that are coming up and you'll probably talk about them. Because I think it'd probably be really hard to do a preview section without talking about the club that you're about to play.
Mm.
What do you think?
Yeah, but it's banter's got a place though, and what we did was
Was it not?
It was too much.
Was it what about manners?
Manners are gone. My mum would be cross if she knew I'd been accused of having no manners.
Mm.
That's why I love football though. I love going to the football to be well mannered. That's the reason I go to Elland Road. To be really polite.
Balanced, well mannered. That's what is what football is all about.
Exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And they're under our skin, aren't they? Just so because we poked fun at a few of their elements of their club. And then having to explain how it works, like, so for example, we poke fun at their stadium because it's brand new and looks a bit like Legoland, okay? Our stadium is falling apart, yeah?
Yeah.
But we love it because it's shit and falling apart.
People often slag off, within this section of listening to other fans, people often will say...
It's an absolute shithole.
It's an absolute dump. Like
which it is.
The seats don't face the pitch. Good. Yeah. I'm pleased with that.
There was that roof that you were under, if you actually came, you didn't, because you all got very angry. That had asbestos in it until fairly recently, which is, I don't know if you've heard, that's quite bad.
Yeah.
They took it out, though.
But do you know how upset I get when people slag off Elland Road? Not at all, because I like it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you just move on, don't you?
Yeah. Well,
I was thinking, one of the first times I properly fell in love with Leeds was my dad took me to Masters football in Sheffield, and Leeds had a team in there, and I saw Sheffield United fans and Sheffield Wednesday fans arm in arm, drinking beers, singing We All Hate Leeds Scum. And I thought, that is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, fine, you know, enjoy your stadium. It's fine. It's perfectly inoffensive, which is what Brentford are.
It's a big rivalry, and you know it is, Dan.
Yeah.
Don't pretend otherwise.
Well, no, I haven't slept since thinking about it. Didn't win, though, did they? That's just one thing to observe. They didn't win.
No.
And didn't get to throw it back in our faces. But you know what? Had they won that game, I would have quite openly welcomed them throwing it back in our faces because we would have deserved it.
Mm.
And just taking it on the chin.
And also, but as
it is, what I've heard is...
And equally, if they'd won,
by grown-ups,
it wouldn't have invalidated what we said, which I stand by.
I find this day and age, it's important to double down, Michael.
I'll be honest, if they could get 100 points in the Premier League and we could get none, and I would still think we deserve to be in there ahead of them. Because that's the way football works. they could have won that game 10-0 and I wouldn't have changed my opinion. Thing is, I've never thought they were a bad side.
Yeah.
I even said in the preview, because I listened back to it to check none of my more libelous things I said about Thomas Frank got through, but they didn't.
And that's good.
And I even said that they're a good team and that they were really good in the Championship, and I thought that when they came up that they'd have a style of play that would probably actually be all right in the Premier League. And
I remember you saying that.
And I thought they'd stay up. I said all that.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Didn't listen to that bit, obviously.
Just while we're on this, these besotted characters, I just... want to just go quickly to Twitter. I know this isn't great, but can you see that? That's their Twitter account. Okay. Remember that we're obsessed with them, yeah?
Mm.
What does that show? What does that show there of their Twitter account?
It shows that you've got a follow button that you can click.
Yeah, but now you see that?
It follows you bit, yeah.
Follows you. So besotted follows you. See, you know that bit where you can click the follow button? What does that show?
It shows that you don't follow them.
It shows that we don't follow them. Hmm. It's an obsession I like to keep from a distance. I don't know about you.
One of your burner accounts. Because you don't want it to be revealed.
But we do appreciate the extra traffic you've driven our way, because they've talked us up so much, like loads of cross promotion. And hopefully this will do the same for you. People will go and listen to the besotted stuff, and it'll help in terms of, you know, figures and a bit of ad revenue for you and stuff. Because football family, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
That's it.
And if you don't take it too seriously, it is just a knockabout on the internet.
Yeah, I just hope, I hope no kids... Brentford kids listen to this podcast though, because it's sickening.
Are the ice cream vans here as well? Again, again, regular listeners will know that we have an ice cream van that comes round when we record every lunchtime. So that's that you just heard in the background. Go on then, let's wrap it up with these lot then.
Well, they did eventually talk about the game.
Oh, they did.
Of it. And it was complaining about...
Did they point out what happened in the game 32 minutes in on December the 2nd?
I know I keep mentioning it, but it's you really need to listen to this. It's the 3rd of December episode, 35 minutes in. Anyway, but yeah, they were complaining that there was too much injury time.
For me, it was the timekeeping. I mean, how did we end up with 5 minutes of stoppage time in that second half? There wasn't many particular injuries. I know there were three goals and the substitutions coming on, but to me, that looked like a 3 or 4 minute stoppage. And of course, they scored as the clock ticked into that vital fifth minute.
So is it the timekeeping? Is the referee? Is it the overall officiating?
Overall, the officiating wasn't too bad. It's that timekeeping piece between the...
Okay. Yeah. So it's the clock. It's the Leeds clock. It's the yeah, their own personal timekeeping sort of time zone thing.
You see, what he's done, the same thing. He's used satire. He's employed satire there, hasn't he, to suggest that we were manipulating the clock to damage them.
That's really bitter.
You think so?
Bad manners. I think they need to be a bit more respectful.
Although we had good manners to not criticise the referee, who is the one who decides the time. Yeah. But he's like, no, I'm not going to criticise the referee because he's a great lad. He's doing a tough job. And that's what we sing at referees. We say, you're doing a good job under often difficult circumstances.
Yep. It's about showing.
So well done, Wendell. And without you,
thank you, Coote.
There won't be a game. So yeah. Thank you for refereeing.
There's only one David Coote.
All that sort of stuff. But he's wrong. I was bitter enough to go back to the Canos goal and look at the stoppages.
Well, just before you get into that, he actually said, "I know there were all the subs in that." Well, as a rule of thumb, I think they allow 30 seconds per sub, and there were how many subs?
There were 5 subs in the second half.
So 5 subs. That alone is 2.5 minutes, isn't it?
Mm.
Of the 5. So let's get into the rest of it then.
Well, the Canos goal, that was a full minute that it was stopped because there was obviously
He went over and headbutted that pint glass, didn't he?
He did, yeah. So that was a full minute. They took 34 seconds over a goal kick at one point, which was ridiculous. Like, he should have been booked for that very clearly because he had the ball and was just not refusing to.
You mean
with
a goal kick in his hands or from?
No, from dead ball line. Dead ball line, but he had the ball for like a full 30 seconds, just doing nothing with it. When Jackie got a book in, that was another 45 seconds.
Can I just stop you for a second before you go any further? So what you've done is you've gone back and watched this video in order to ascertain what is factually correct.
Correct, yes.
You've gone and analysed the data. Factually correct, okay.
Yep.
That's important. I feel that's an important thing to note.
And I'm aware that it's not an in-play clock in football, you know, when ball goes out for throw-ins or whatever, it's not like it stops.
Yeah. Maybe it should be.
But for free kicks and stuff, it should. If it's a lengthy kind of stoppage for a free kick or whatever, they do tend to stop it. So yeah, when Jackie was booked, that was 45 seconds because they stayed down. There was the Bamford one, which it was only 20 seconds, but it was the most ridiculous situation where there was a player stood near the ball to take the free kick and he ran away from it to waste a bit more time. Then Click, when he got his book in, someone was down for 55 seconds. When Rafa got his book in, that was on the edge of the box where they, I can't remember who took the free kick now, but I think it hit the wall or went over or something. But that was a minute and 14. But then one of their subs then took 40 seconds. They took 35 seconds to restart play after a Bamford offside. And then even the calling that led to our goal, their keeper pretended to be injured and was down for like 25, 30 seconds as well.
And we also saw David Coote, who did a fine job under difficult circumstances, as we've already acknowledged, telling them to hurry up. So it's almost like there was a visual representation of their time wasting.
Yeah. But I totting those up. I didn't stop for throw-ins or anything. But totting those up, that's 6.5 minutes from the Canos goal. So it's fine. I thought it was, without doing that, I thought it was quite obvious just from watching the game that
there was
hardly any ball in play in that last 20 minutes.
So that's it then for the besotted stuff on propaganda. And as you know, because we're obsessed with Brentford, we will no doubt be talking about them next week, the week after, the week after that, all the way through to our end of season tie in May, won't we?
Yes.
Listening keenly.
It's the big game, isn't it? It's the one we're all looking forward to at the end of the season as well. The big trip down to the old Legoland.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it'll be just tense until that game, I think.
Yeah,
waiting for the big.
But it's quite fitting that it's the end of the season, though, isn't it? Because it's
like a cup final.
Well, yeah. So you know, we might get to. Oh no, we won't. Got West Ham. So at least we get a cup final this season by playing at Brentford's new stadium. So okay, thanks for that. I'm glad we cleared all that up and we got into the rules of satire to have to explain why you shouldn't be a thin-skinned baby about football and it's just a bit of fun. Anyway, on that note, the City Gent.
Yes, it just reminded me of it. This was in the very early days of us doing the magazine. We'd played Bradford in the League Cup. We just seem to get them every year in it, I think. But we'd done some very light slagging off of Bradford in the back of a the magazine. I think we used to run a section about teams we were playing, a bit like we do now on the podcast, where we do like a bit of a thing where we just take the piss at them.
Is that a magazine aimed at Leeds fans?
Yes.
Yeah.
But clearly photocopies of this were circulating the pubs of Bradford at the time. And they were like, look.
Was it a rage copy?
They have said. So we got an email from, I've still got the email because it's just on my archived Gmail, but someone got in touch. M. Neil got in touch to say, I'm involved in City Gent, the award-winning Bradford City fanzine.
It's slightly older than Square Ball, isn't it, City Gent? Mm. And I know they've struggled a bit in recent seasons. Just on behalf of the football family, I just want to say I hope they continue doing it because it's important to have independent voices.
Correct.
Yeah.
At our game today, I was given a photocopy of We All Hate Leeds Scum, which was the name of the section, in which one of your writers incorrectly gives reasons as to why Bradford City have a complete disregard and intense dislike of anything connected with your club. It's nothing to do with the Chip Van Oddsall, or habit, or jealousy, just what have you won in 20 years, or because you claim to be a bigger club.
Claim to be.
I can give you the real reasons, but it won't make pretty reading and won't do anything to improve the image of your club. The only correct bit of the article is where you say hating Leeds is a national pastime. Have you ever considered why and thought, I really don't want my club to have this tag attached to it. Mm. You should. Why? Because this prevents you from ever becoming a really big club as Manchester United, etc. This is a serious offer to write a piece which will put the record correct once and for all.
Best regards, M. Neil. Mm. That's quite hard-hitting.
So I replied to him, perhaps flippantly, perhaps perhaps arrogantly, perhaps even bitterly. I just said, hi, Mark, sounds good. Send it over and we'll try our best not to cry. So he replied,
for which you deserve a medal.
So he replied, that's the problem with you, your bloody disrespectful attitude to all other clubs and the reason why you are totally disliked. I will have to work on it, Mark. It came close to the print deadline, so I sent him a chaser on it. He got back in touch. He said, I reconsidered my intention as I feel my very honest attempt at putting the record straight will not be taken seriously due to the obvious attitude which seems prevalent amongst a large majority of your supporters. Such an article will not serve to educate if the reader is not prepared to accept what is offered. Therefore, you won't be receiving anything. Best wishes in everything you do, except anything connected to Leeds, which he's put with the 666s in it.
Oh, bless him.
So that was the end of that. But it just reminded me of someone getting really far too cross about something.
I remember you forwarding that email to me at the time and just falling off my chair.
We did print the whole thing as well at the time, I remember. We printed the entire email exchange just to highlight the ridiculous childishness of it.
Yeah, and childishness, that's what it's about. I mean, you know, just going back to what you were saying before about only clubs that can be in the Premier League when you were 13. Mm. Again, you know, we're holding up a mirror to ourselves and as the cast members on this show and our audience as well. And pointing out the fact that ultimately we're just children at heart, and it's childishness that pervades in football, and that's what's at the root of it, isn't it?
But it not for Mark. Mm. It's a serious thing. He wanted an audience searching for education as to about why Leeds United are hated. I mean, I think most Leeds fans kind of know.
Yeah, it's fucking great, isn't it?
But we obviously wouldn't acknowledge that in an article explaining why Bradford City fans don't like us. It's more fun to say that they're jealous, because they're a tiny little club down the road.
And they're ironically bitter.
Very bitter
about Leeds.
They've still got their hockey day.
Which you don't like to see in football.
Yeah. No, it is a shame. We should all just get along, shouldn't we?
We should, shouldn't we? Yeah.
But staying with the local rivals, I suppose, of sorts. Hecky.
Thank God. Just to make you aware, if there's anyone from Brentford still listening, this is not about Brentford. We actually cover, it's called the wider world of propaganda. So it's other stuff that's been said, people that are kind of in our orbit. And if you're aware or not, Paul Heckingbottom was our previous manager before Marcelo Bielsa.
It's normally a longer section than this, to be honest, but we've had a lot of square ball references to cover off in this one.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, if you go back to 32 minutes in, you'll...
So yeah. I'm keeping Hecky short. He's not been in the job all that long, has he? Just a couple of weeks. So he's only halfway to achieving what he needs to there. So this is him following the Cardiff game.
A game that had a little bit of everything. What do you make of your team's performance first off?
Yeah, good with the ball.
Did he follow it up with anything else?
Nope. Didn't mention if they were good without the ball.
Right. So, suggest they weren't.
Yeah. Mm. But good with it. Mm-hmm. So
halfway there.
It's getting it across.
Are we letting Sheffield United in our Premier League?
Yeah, I think so. They're allowed in it. Not necessarily all the time.
Well, Brian Deane scored the first goal in the Premier League, didn't he? So yeah, there's kind of a heritage reason there.
I'd certainly have him in consideration for bouncing between the two leagues, whereas Brentford I'd never allow in.
Right,
Brentford. Even if they won the championship, they wouldn't be allowed.
No,
which I think is fair.
Right, go on then.
I'd promote, like I say, if Oldham finished fourth, give them the place because they deserve it.
Fourth in League Two.
Yeah, exactly. In a way that Brentford never could.
Yeah, I mean, QPR, just bat your eyelids at us. You're in.
Exactly.
Fair enough. Exactly. Right, one more clip then.
Last one then, just Arsenal Fan TV. I thought I'd have a little look at how they were getting on because they obviously quite hilariously lost to Everton yesterday in the last minute.
They've lost more games than us of Arsenal, haven't they?
Have they?
I think so, yeah. We've lost, five?
Oh, right. They just not bother drawing.
Let's have a look at what they're up to.
But yeah, I can't remember the guy's name, but there's this is the bald fella who's the most cockney bloke in the world.
They've also lost five. We've lost five.
Yeah, okay.
Same as us. But they are above Brentford in the league, just to contextualize, because they've won more games, just to let me be aware of that.
Arsenal are in. Arsenal do get to stay in the Premier League,
yeah.
I will say. But yeah, this was the very cockney Arsenal Fan TV man at full time, and he was rubbing his face while talking, and it was all very difficult for him, but I enjoyed it.
Damari Gray done us over today.
What have we got to do now? Cannot continue at this football club no more. Something has got to change.
They played us off the park today.
Seventh in the league again. You know what I mean? Just absolute priming points. Left, right and centre with a fucking idiot in charge.
Listen, we're meant to be, yeah? We're meant to be in this big six, Lee, yeah? We're meant to be
in
this big six, yeah?
We ain't in a big six with this manager now.
Last November...
I told it, these three games was going to tell me everything I know about Mikel. Fuck off!
Do you know what I think? I think maybe they're going to look at changing Mikel Arteta, probably when we beat him in a couple of weeks.
Fuck off!
And, you know, someone like Thomas Frank's going to want to go to a big club eventually, isn't he? You know, like... actually test himself, you know, properly in the Premier League.
That's true. Playing front of a big stadium.
Big stadium, yeah, really well-designed stadium, big crowds, obviously notably hostile at the Emirates.
Yeah, team with some potential.
Won't even have to move house, would he?
No.
I mean, he's a talented coach as well.
He probably wants, though, because a team like Arsenal can pay a decent wage, whereas Brentford obviously is kind of scraping about.
They don't spend any money, do they?
No, he's probably in rented accommodation with old Besotted, listening to the podcast of other teams.
Yeah, so I mean, good luck. I mean, we've always said Thomas Frank. Great guy, good coach.
Really good guy. Mm-hmm. Always liked him. And his hair.
Says the bald man. That does wrap up propaganda for this week. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you haven't, be sure to let us know and we can ignore you.
And if you've picked this up because someone's handed you a cassette in a West London pub or something and been like, mate, I've got a copy of this. You want to...
It's hard hitting.
Want to listen to this? You won't believe it.
Three blokes sat in a room making really cheap jokes, cheap and obvious jokes about football teams. You're going to be furious. I wonder how many times, I just realised that show was, what was it? It's 32 minutes in they listened to it from.
Mm.
And that bit was about 20, 25 minutes, the preview section. How many times could you listen to that between London and Elm Road? And you're spiralling fury as you're getting closer and closer. Anyway, thank you for watching and listening. It's been an enjoyable one, hasn't it? I've enjoyed it. Thank you for your hard work as pulling together the facts as well, Michael, making sure that we're factually accurate in this show. Good show. Thanks, Rob. We'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.